Old King James Bible, you've got a Bible tonight. And I'm thinking of a preacher, great man of God. He went to a college, he was preaching all week, and somebody criticized him because he told a lot of stories. And they criticized his preaching, and he said, yeah, there's somebody in the Bible that used to tell a lot of stories. And you'd criticize him too, you preacher boys that think you're something. And of course, those stories are called parables. And our Lord used parables to get on people's level, to teach them from everyday life a story that they could relate to spiritual truth. And that's what we have tonight in Luke chapter 19, a story from everyday life. Now, a parable has usually one basic spiritual meaning, one basic meaning that it's trying to get across from the story. But in giving that meaning, you can have other spiritual truths that go along with it. And that's what I'd like to do tonight, to take a spiritual truth that goes along with the main meaning of the parable of the Lord in Luke 19. It's a parable about a guy who was going to inherit a kingdom, and he went away, and he said to his servants, he had 10 servants, and he said, now I'm going to inherit this kingdom, I'm going to come back and rule. He said, but I'm going to give you money to invest, 10 pounds each. And pound in that language of Luke 19, relating it today, I looked it up, is about 3 months' wages, let's say about $15,000. And one of the guys, the first guy, when the king came back to set up his kingdom and to rule with them, he wanted them to come before him to see what place they would have in his kingdom, what position in authority they would have in the kingdom. And the first guy said, well, I've taken your 10 pounds and I've gotten 10 more. In other words, I've taken your $15,000 and I made $150,000 with it. I think of Donald Trump, I think he got $1 million from his father, and he's maybe net worth, I don't know, $5 billion, $6 billion. So he obviously used it and built it up. And so the second guy came, and he had 5 pounds more. So that was pretty good, about 75,000 from the 15,000. And a third guy came up, and he said, "I buried it. You know, here it is back." And the Lord called him a wicked servant, slothful. And his rewards were removed from him and given to the man that used his opportunity. And of course, the lesson from this parable is that the Lord is coming back. And he's given you opportunities to invest in his coming kingdom. But if you put all your time and energy and money into this world, you're going to be left with no rewards in the kingdom. And some people that just bury their talent show they don't even have any faith anyway. And that's sad as well. And so I'm thinking tonight about one truth out of this parable. And the Lord told these servants, I'm leaving, I'm coming back. And in Luke 19, verse 13, he said these words, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. And that's what I want to preach on tonight to you. Now, I'm thinking of the Vietnam War. I had friends that went to the Vietnam War. I went into college and I was 4D. I had a divinity deferment. But my friends went, some of them died in Vietnam. Some of them came back from Vietnam. My wife's brother went there. That's why he's got cancer now, Agent Orange, and all the things that they went through over there. And they had a crazy war, quote unquote, not like World War II. You went out there and fought under the generals. You took ground and conquered that ground and got more ground. I think of the Battle of the Bulge when they invaded after D-Day into Germany, and the Germans fought them and fought them and fought them, and they kept fighting the Battle of the Bulge until they got into Germany, took over Berlin. And what I'm trying to say to you is that the Vietnam War wasn't like that. It was fought by politicians. And they took orders, I believe, from globalists. Already globalism was taking its root there. Killed Kennedy. And they were so they'd take a hill, blood, sweat, and tears. And the politicians would say, well, that doesn't look good. Now you need to give it back up. You took that hill, now you need to give it back up to the North Vietnamese. And the whole war went like that. And it was so sorry for our soldiers. And then they came back and they were spit upon and mocked and ridiculed. I remember that time. It was a horrible time, the hippie time, these self-righteous hippies. A lot of them now are running the government, like Bill Clinton. He's one of them. And those kind of people in the Democrat Party or the Demon Rat Party. But Jesus said, I don't want you to fight like that. I want you to occupy till I come. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, occupy means, number one, to take possession. The person who first occupies land which has no owner has the right of property. Take possession. We saw that in early America. And then number two, it's to keep in possession. Listen, not just to take it, but to keep it, to possess it, to hold or keep for use, like a tenant would occupy a farm, like maybe for 21 years under lease, or a lodger would occupy an apartment and use it and make good out of it. I'm saying tonight, when you carry out the Great Commission for the King of Kings, who's coming to set up his kingdom, he expects you to first take ground for him and then to hold what you've taken, not to take it and give it up like Vietnam. Far too many believers are led by the Lord to take spiritual ground, but then under pressure from the world, under pressure from the pleasures of their flesh, under pressure from the devil, they give that ground up. And you are going against your commander-in-chief who said, occupy, take possession, and hold that ground. How long until I come? In other words, the name of my message is occupy till I come. I like to say occupy until I come, Jesus says, in terms of the local New Testament church. Christ said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He didn't say, I'll build my Bible college, although thank God for Bible colleges. I had a Bible college. It was not under a local church. And that Bible college is no longer in existence. But this church is still here, amen? And Christ said, I'll build my church, not my RBCS school, though thank God for an RBCS school under the church. If you're wise, any ministry for the Lord, you will get that ministry under the church. God's established the home, the church, and the government. And God says, when it comes to ministries, it shouldn't be parachurch. It should be what? Local church. Why? Because there's a promise of divine perpetuity. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That doesn't mean he can't take a candlestick from a church, but he's not going to do an end run around the local church. There are going to be churches here right up until the end, amen. And I want to be part of the church because he's building it. He didn't say, I'll build my RU ministry. Remember RU, Steve Currington? And that could get too big for its britches if it's not careful. Have those ministries under a local church. I don't believe there's any higher authority than the church. I mean, Christ is the head of the church. And when church discipline, it goes to the church and not to some denomination. I remember one time we did church discipline, and I had some guy leave and went to the Presbyterian church. And next thing I know, I had the elders from the Presbyterian church knocking on my door at my house. And they had a synod which was higher than their churches. And they said, we've come here to examine your discipline. And I explained our discipline to them out of courtesy and respect. And they said, okay, we'll vote on that in the Senate. They voted on it, rejected it. To that I say, to your Senate. Christ said, I'll build my church. He said, what you bound as a church on earth, perfect tenth, has already been bound in heaven with abiding results. And I have stuck with that. And I'm just saying, I have taken ground through the Lord and occupied that ground, held that ground. I've seen a lot of people come into the church and go. They've come, they've stayed a while, they've gone. You know what those people are? They're AWOL, absent without leave, forsaking not the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some is. Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, when you gather with the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and also in the Gospels, he said, I am there. My presence is there. And I don't want to miss that. People say, well, I don't need to go to church. I'll listen to something online. I'll listen to some preacher online. I'll listen to David Jeremiah. I'll listen to some other preacher online. The only problem is they're not using the right Bible, for one thing. Another problem is that's not church. It's not, I'll build my electric church.
Right.
I've seen the electric parade in Disney World, but he didn't say, I'll build my electric church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Too many people are AWOL. You're not occupying. He said, you say, how long do I keep going to church? How long do I keep investing in building lives on solid foundations in the church? How long do I carry out the Great Commission in the church? Until your commander-in-chief comes back.
Amen.
I don't care how hard he gets. He'll make a way for you. Occupy till he comes in terms of building the local church. Number two, occupy until he comes in terms of the Bible. The Bible speaks about, listen to this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't miss that definite article, Omicron with a little hash on the top of it, pronounced ha in the Greek. It means one unique one. There's only one unique sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that is what's in my hand. That's not the New King James or the New... it's the old King James. The New King James is no more the King James than I'm the New King Tut. It is this Bible, and every word is preserved. Where there's two authorities, you got to decide which one is right. And this is the King.
Yes.
And we hold it up.
Amen.
It's called the King James Bible. Amen. And so I'm just saying, why, you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know the devil knows which one's the sword of the Spirit. He knows the imposter from the real. You say, how does he know? Because Jesus quoted it and stuck him with it. The sword of the Spirit will stick Satan, and he'll know when he's been stuck. And so he fights against the old King James Bible. You say a lot of preachers have left the old King James Bible. Not this one.
Amen.
Not this church. Jesus said, occupy till I come. And that means take the ground. And I took it in 1985, and now it's 2000, going on 2025. You count up the years, we're holding it. You say, when are you going to give it up? When Jesus comes back. And you better stick with it. There are a lot of guys that have lace on their underwear that are not real men, and they won't hold to the Word of God. They have versions. You know what these versions are, Brother Matt? They're perversions. And I don't like the idea of pervert of any kind. Don't pervert the Word of God. I think of the man Eleazar, one of David's mighty men. It says of Eleazar in 2 Samuel 23:10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto his sword. I like that word, clave unto his sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. You say, how long did Eleazar have his hands holding on to that sword until they had to pry his fingers from it? He couldn't take it off. They had to pry his fingers. I like what Charlton Heston said about gun control. He said, "You'll take my gun from me when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. You'll take my old King James Bible from me when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers." I like what Al Lacy said. He's now in heaven. He said, "I will fight for my King James Bible. I will fight over my King James Bible. And I will fight with my King James Bible." You know, I'm sick and tired of these globalist leftists that are constantly trying to take my First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and trying to take away my Second Amendment gun. They talk about gun control, gun control, gun control. That's what Adolf Hitler did. They're a bunch of fascists, communists, and every time people take away your Second Amendment, see, it's not about hunting. That's not what the Second Amendment is. It's about overthrowing tyrannical, unconstitutional government. Our founders put it in there. And I'm just saying to you, why is Canada like they are? Because they have no Second Amendment right. It's been taken from them. Same in England, where they're arresting people. When they say something they don't like, they arrest them for it. Ah, my friends, I don't like that at all. And I feel that way with the Bible. They're trying, Satan, the same devil, is trying to take away the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." Stay with it. Hold on to it. Amen. How long? Till I come back. You stay with it. You know, Donald Trump, when they shot at him, he turned his head, got him in the ear, and the blood was all over, and he went down in the mat, and people were thinking, "Oh, they killed him." But he got back up again. And I like what he says here. He said, "Fight, fight, fight." And I say, Jesus went down lower than the ground. He went underground into the grave. And he came back up. And he tells you, "Occupy till I come." Fight, fight, fight. That good fight of faith. And I'm just saying, that's the word of the Lord. And that's what we've done. And I want to say, occupy till I come, in terms of building the local church and committing into the local church. You say, well, we're getting closer to Christ coming. How much should I meet? I know some churches only have Sunday morning. I don't know how they pay these guys all the money. The guy's making $100,000 a year, $150,000. They only have one service a week. Bunch of wimps. Occupy till I come. The Bible says you should gather together with the church. Listen to me. All the more as you see the day approaching. We can see the signs of His coming. We've been preaching on the signs of His coming. We've been telling you. We're getting closer and closer. And Jesus said, all the more as you see the day approaching, you should be involved with the local New Testament church. In terms of the Bible, you should occupy this Bible until He comes. And then thirdly, occupy in terms of confrontational soul winning. Occupy in terms of confrontational soul winning. The Lord commanded you to go soul winning, and He promised you the help of His helper. He gave you the helper to help you. It says in Acts 1:8, "And ye shall receive power to do what? To speak some monkey language? To do what? To stand around and look at yourself in the mirror? To do what? No, ye shall receive power to witness. Witness for Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria." They did it. Check it out in the book of Acts. Come to Sunday school. We're studying the book of Acts. Better yet, you do what it says in the book of Acts. He'll give you power to witness. I decided I'm going to go back to the rest of this year to give the gospel until I lead one person to Christ every day. I'm back there. God, stir me up. Get going. You need a little extra push. And the power comes as you do that. Jesus put it this way. You don't need permission. Jesus gave you the command. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said again in Matthew 28:19. That was Mark 16:15. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? How to get saved. The good news. What are all nations? Every ethnic group. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, if more of us were doing that, we couldn't hold all the people. The baptism, we need more robes, amen, and more people helping us. I'm just saying, occupy means stay with confrontational soul winning. And I'm just saying, you've got the greatest authority on earth that said in Matthew 28:18, all power, that's all authority from God, is given unto me, not just in heaven, but where? On earth. So you got a license. You can go. And I remember when I became a pastor in 1978, I started a weekly soul winning meeting at my house and had soul winners going out. And but then I went to pastor school. I remember an evangelist by the name of Frank Poling coming to our church. And I got convicted, something Frank Poling said. Frank Poling was going out downtown Scranton witnessing. He was going everywhere witnessing. He was just a young evangelist, and he was preaching. And he said, you know, a lot of churches and pastors, when it comes to soul winning, they're just kind of ding, ding, dinging along till the rapture. In other words, we had a weekly soul winning ministry. Oh, I'm doing my obligation. I got my check there. But God stirred me up and said, oh no, you read Acts 5:42, see what that church was doing. It said, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That sounds to me like occupy until I come. Could it be that God is stirring you up to occupy until he comes in terms of building the local church, to occupy in terms of using and holding on to your King James Bible, to occupy in terms of confrontational soul winning and using it, and finally, occupy till I comes in terms of standards. I like what it says there. It says that, well, let me put it this way. There are many Laodicean preachers, and they are different than true fundamental preachers. Luke, can you play a Laodicean preacher? I know you don't want to do it, but would you come up and be a Laodicean preacher for me? This guy is not Laodicean, but I'm going to have him play it. Thank you, Dr. Luke. And Anna, can you be a Laodicean girl? I know you don't like that, and she isn't, but... And face Luke, and Luke, you face her. Now be careful when you take a step, because look back. Don't hurt yourself. All right, Ben, would you be a... I'm going to let you be an independent, fundamental, temperamental, shouting preacher. All right, now we need a Laodicean. Robbie, would you come up and be a Laodicean? All right, now here's what's going to happen. Get a little closer together. I know you're two boys, and that's gross, but anyway. So Anna's going to take a step back. Anna, would you take a step back? All right. Luke, would you take a little step toward her? Anna, would you take another step maybe on the first stair? Luke, would you take another step toward her? Anna, would you take a step down the stair? Luke, another step toward her. Anna, right down to the bottom. Luke, go down to the second one. Anna, go back further. Luke, down. Anna, back further. Luke, down. Do you see what's happening here? He is changing. Now listen, I know a lot of men like this. They had the stand on dress standards. Are they standing there anymore? No, they've quit. They're not occupying until he comes. Now, you, Robbie, take a step back and stay right there. Take another step back, stay right there. Take a step back. Watch out, Robbie. Take another step back. All right, one more, Robbie. You see, he hasn't moved a bit. Now, see how far apart he is from this Laodicean Christian? See how he's right with the Laodicean Christian? And that's where a lot of preachers are today. They've given up their King James Bible. They're the cool crowd. They've given up their standards on music. They're the cool crowd. They've given up their standards on dress. They're the cool crowd. But the Laodicean guy, he sticks with God. He says, God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. I'm going to stand right with him. Let's give these guys a hand. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Get an extra piece of candy. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. So I'm just saying, the Bible says this in Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. I did it. I saw what was going on. Way back in the 1980s, I saw it. God had to take me to the woodshed for some bloodshed to get me to see it. But I am a sovereign grace fundamentalist. By that I mean, it's the sovereign grace of God that made me a fundamentalist. Because I was on the Neil road. And he took me to the woodshed, gave me some bloodshed, and made me see what was going on. Just what I portrayed there. And he says, and ask for the old path. You know what I did? I asked God to give me the grace to be a fundamentalist. And you're going to need the grace to do it. You cannot do it in the flesh. You cannot live a fundamental Christian life in the flesh. It's got to be God's grace. I asked for it. And he says, that's the good way. Where is the good way? I have to agree. After all these years, 1985 to the present, do the math, amen. I have found the good way. And he says, walk therein. In other words, occupy. Occupy that path. And ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. Now, I haven't found a lot of rest for the body. But rest for the soul. Amen and amen. Refreshment and rest. A rest that I didn't have when I saw compromise in the church. It made me regurgitate. And it was horrible. And I saw it. And I realized the Lord said, you've allowed it to happen. You have allowed it to happen. And these people are paying the price because you haven't been a man of God that stood with it. And Luke, do you repent of being a Neil? All right, amen. Praise God. All right. And so, but then something I didn't see, the last part of that verse, I'm going to read it to you tonight. But they said, we will not walk therein. But they said, who is they? A lot of people. A lot of professing Christians. They said, we will not walk therein. And I said, that's your decision, but I'm standing. I am saying to you, that's what you've got to realize. There'll be people that you have to let your closest friends be determined by the word of the living God and walk in it and stand in it, and you'll be blessed. I was talking to Alicia about preaching on standard, and she said, boy, your crowd's going to get smaller and smaller on Sunday night, joking with me. And I said, wait till you hear what I'm preaching this Sunday night. You know what? I'm not preaching to gather a crowd. I'm preaching to hold up the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, to hold up Christ. He'll determine the crowd. I'm going to preach Christ like the choir's saying. And the Bible says that that's what we need to do. And a lot of men have given it up. And I just want to occupy. That means to take the ground and then to keep it. And how about doing it with dress standards? How about doing it with the old-time religion? How about sticking with it and staying with it until the Lord comes back? The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. So occupy until I come. When it comes to building lives in the local church on solid foundations, when it comes to the King James Bible, the old King James, when it comes to confrontational soul winning, and when it comes to the old-time standards of the Word of God, you occupy until Jesus comes back. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. You can't do it without God. You can't do it without His grace. But you know what it said?